And so go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, first of all, and I want to, let's go through a couple of things first that lay some more groundwork. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said this, he says, but you shall receive power, say power.
Power.
He says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So I want you to notice the word power. When the Holy Spirit comes, he comes with power. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 1. Everybody there? It says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, ready, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and power. Say power. Notice verse 5. He says, and that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yes. Paul talks a lot about the power of God over and over and over again. We talked about Ephesians chapter 3 last week in verse 20. It says, but unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above whatever you ask or think, according to the power that works in us. You guys all right? Mr. B, you alive? All right, you know, we may have to use the power of God to raise you up. But over and over, when we see the Holy Spirit come, he comes with power. And I put this on my Facebook post yesterday. He can do what you can't do for yourself. Why we need him is the Holy Spirit will do for you what you cannot do for yourself or by yourself. Because he is the power of God. Remember Genesis chapter 1 when the Holy Spirit brooded over the waters? Because he was the power of God waiting. Now he's a person, but he was the power waiting to resurrect the earth again, to change it, to fix it, to create it. The Bible says that the earth was without form and void. It was just a mess. It was a wasteland. It was a deserted place, according to the Hebrew. And so the Holy Spirit rolled up his sleeves and said, just let me go to work. Just give me a mess that I can change and I can resurrect and I can fix. Yes, yes. The Holy Ghost is not afraid to get involved in your mess. The Holy Ghost is not afraid of how bad things are in your life. He's not afraid of the devil. He's not afraid of sickness and disease. He's not afraid of death. How do we know he's not afraid of death? Look what he did to Jesus. He went in right into hell and he raised Jesus from the dead. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, it says, now lives in our mortal bodies. It's that power of God who's not afraid of anything and can do anything is living inside of us. And Paul said that we must be filled with this power. You cannot live a successful Christian life without being filled with the power of God. And Ephesians 3, we said last week in verse 16, it says that you'll be filled with all his might in the inner man. In other words, he needs to flood you. He needs to take over your personality, take over who you are, and he'll change you into another person. Look what he did to Peter. Peter, you know, Peter was afraid of a chicken. He was a chicken. So Peter was literally a chicken because he was afraid of a chicken. He would pass right by Popeyes or Chick-fil-A. He was afraid of a chicken, and he said, dare that chicken crow three times. Bark, bark. Right? What he did is he denied Christ. But after the Holy Spirit came upon him and filled him, it turned him into another man. It literally changed his life. Amen. If you want a serious, you know, yes, coming to Christ is the very first thing you need. The world needs Jesus. The church needs the Holy Spirit. The Christians need the Holy Spirit. You cannot, actually, it's a command. Paul said it's a command. You must be filled with the Spirit of God. You must have the Spirit of God. Jesus said, you sit around and wait till you receive that power. He said, you can't do anything without that power. It's a command. And Jesus got so excited when he spoke about him. He says, man, he says, I can't wait to leave. And you know, Peter's like, don't you dare leave. What do you mean you're going to leave? You can't leave us here. Wherever you go, I go. He goes, no, you don't get it. Because if I go, he won't come. And when he comes, he'll rock your world. He'll show you things to come. He'll remind you of what we talked about. He'll convict the world of sin. He'll speak to you. He'll reveal things to you that no one else can reveal to you. And Jesus said, he says, I can't tell you everything right now. He says, actually, he says, I can't. I just literally can't tell you anything anymore. But he says, but when he comes, when the helper comes, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will show you everything you need to know. Amen? Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Go to, Hallelujah. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Let's take a look at the Holy Spirit, an aspect of the Holy Spirit and this power and how he comes in you, how he fills you. It's real important. Ephesians chapter 5. You there? Yes? Say amen. If not, oh my. Oh, I got a one or two or three. Ephesians 5:18. Ready? It says, and do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Okay, so I want you to notice the comparison between drinking wine and the Holy Spirit. Everybody see that? Yes? No? Okay, remember in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Ghost fell, the Bible, Peter said that these are not drunk as you suppose. In other words, when the Holy Spirit came on them, they acted like drunkards. Okay, but notice he said, be filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Everybody good? John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Let me just lay some groundwork. Let's go somewhere with this. John chapter 4. Huh? Open up the heaven. John chapter 4. So Jesus is talking to the lady at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well, and watch what he says, verse 13. John chapter 4, verse 13. You there? I know I'm a little fast. Oh, we got it up on the screen. Sharon's good. Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into eternal life. Two scriptures where we see the Holy Spirit and we see drinking involved. Correct? John chapter 7. Watch this. John chapter 7, verse 37. John 7, 37. It says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood, cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Now, let's say this. Pastor Mark says it very well. He says this. You must have a drinking relationship with the Lord. You must have a drinking relationship with the Lord. If you really want to get filled, you got to learn how to drink. But a lot of us Christians come to the Lord and think instead of coming to the Lord and drink. A lot of Christians come to the Lord and think about it when Jesus said, let's just have a drink over it. I'm not saying you go out and get blasted, whatever you want to call it. I'm not saying that. But there's a key thing here. I've given you three scriptures where Jesus said, if you want more of me, you got to drink of me. The Holy Spirit can only be drunk. Well, he's not drunk. You know, you can only, the only way you get filled is if you drink. And I'm going to show you how to drink in a minute. All right? So listen, Too many of us come to God and think, and Jesus said, no, you come to me and drink. If you're thirsty, you don't sit around and think about God and think about the scriptures. Well, I don't believe that. I believe this, but I believe that. Jesus said, no, you don't think about it. You drink about it. Everybody see that so far? How do you get filled? You don't think about God. You drink God. The Holy Spirit is liquid God. Now, he's not liquid God, he's a person, but you know what I mean. I want you to understand, Jesus said it. If anybody thirsts, come to me and drink. He said, lady, he says, if you knew who I was, you'd ask me for a drink. And then Paul says this is how, he says, don't be drunk, be filled. Notice how you do it. Ephesians 5:19, go there. Now, let me ask you, how many of you had a cup of coffee this morning? Right? How did you get the coffee in your belly? How did you drink it? What did you do with your mouth? You have to open your mouth in order to drink. Listen, the biggest problem with Christians is they keep their mouth shut in everything. If you keep your mouth shut, you lose by default. Jesus said, if you have a mountain, you need to speak to that mountain. He didn't say, look at it, think about it. He said, you take a good look at that mountain and you tell it to do something. Now, we know a mountain is an obstacle in your life, right? An obstacle represents something that is bad, your tribulation, or something you're going through. He says, don't think about it. He says, don't call people up to pray about it. He says, what you need to do is speak to it. In other words, this, the way you drink the Holy Spirit is by opening up your mouth and doing something with it. Look at Ephesians 5:18 again. It says, be filled with the Spirit, right, you up there? Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. What's the next verse say? The very first word? The Holy Ghost will always affect your mouth. The Holy Spirit, the first thing he does is he touches your mouth. Listen, if you're not saying something, then you may not be filled with the Holy Ghost. Or you may be grieving the Holy Ghost, and I'll explain that later. When they were filled with the Holy, go to Acts chapter 2. Let me explain what I mean. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. So listen, at 10 o'clock, you have a great opportunity to get filled with the Holy Spirit. When that first tune cranks, clang, clang, you know, doom, 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 you have a wonderful opportunity to get filled with the Holy Spirit. How is that? Open up the heaven. Just open your mouth and sing. Open your mouth and say something. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing is one way that you can be filled with the Holy Ghost. But where is everybody at 10 o'clock? You see, we have this idea that worship is filler time. It's just, you know, so everybody can get to their seats and everybody can sit and, you know, and everybody can get in place. But no, there's a reason why we worship. Worship allows you to get filled with Him. The Word of God doesn't fill you. The Word of God gives you faith. The Word of God will guard your heart, but the Holy Spirit is the power of God that will fill you up. Where you can stand up boldly and say, no, I will not be tempted. I will not go through this. I'm not going under. I will go over. Jesus is on my side. The blood has been applied. I'm an overcomer in Christ. I've been made righteous in Christ. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. What does that? It's boldness that comes from being filled, and it just bubbles up out of your mouth. Did you go to Acts chapter 2 yet? Acts chapter 2, verse Peter just got filled, verse 14, watch this. Peter just got filled with the Holy Ghost after he was afraid of a chicken. It says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice. No one's shouting yet. He raised his voice and said to them, there are times that you need to lift your voice, that you need to raise your voice. Amen. Am I talking to the church this morning? Listen, number one responsibility of the Holy Spirit, he's a spirit of truth. Let me tell you what he does. The number one thing he does is he shows you the victory Christ had. That is his number one responsibility, to reveal to you Christ. That's what he does to the world. He tells them, Jesus is alive. What he goes to the world, said, Jesus died for your sins, and he was raised again on the third day. Right? That's what he does for the sinner. Jesus is Lord, right? We confess our sins, right? If we believe that, right? Romans 10:9, how do we get saved? We believe that Jesus is Lord and God raised him from the dead. That's the number one thing the Holy Spirit does, is he reveals the victory Christ had over death, hell, and the grave. And what he does for us is he shows us how that belongs to us. He reveals Christ's victory, and he says, you see what he did? He did it for you. In other words, this, the same victory Jesus had, we have. He takes what Jesus did, and he makes it real for us. Ephesians chapter 2, what does it say? We've been made alive with Christ. We've been raised with Christ. We've been seated with Christ. In other words, everything Jesus did, he didn't do for himself. He did it for us. He didn't have to come down. He was very happy in heaven. He was playing Fortnite and beating the Holy... No, just kidding. I know Martha would not understand what Fortnite is. You have to be like 30 and under. Martha is 31. Okay, she hit the line. Man, she's like, I'm gonna get you after this. I got your number. Jesus did not have to become man. He did not have to bound himself to this flesh. He did not have to become one of us. But he did because he loved us and he wanted to. And what he did for you and he did for me. His victory is not his alone. His victory is our victory also. He says we are joint heirs with Christ. Everything he did for us. The same power that raised him from the dead lives inside of us. 1 John 4, as he is, so are we in this world. Everything he did for us. And what the Holy Spirit does is he takes that and he makes it a reality in your life. So in other words, this, the more you see yourself in him, the more victory you have. The more you see yourself in him, the more the power that works in us operates in our life. So when someone tells you, when you get the report from the doctor, hey, we hate to say this, but you've got cancer. What do you say? No, wait a minute. Jesus died to that. By his stripes, I was healed. He buried that in the grave. And now that he's alive, that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead heals this mortal body. So doctor, thank you for your observation, but I declare that I'm healed and the power of God touches your body and it changes your body. Amen. When they say it's flu season, you better get that flu. What do we say? I choose to not participate in flu season this year. We may be in this world, but we're not of this world. All those that know Christ, don't have the Holy Ghost living in them, well, you go get your shot. You're going to need it. But we've got an antidote. We've got the cure. We've got the healer. We've got the greater one, who lives inside of us, and he's already inoculated us from the flu. Hey! Woo! I don't care what comes, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Why can I say that? Because I got the power of God living inside of me. He left heaven. He moved in right here. And when he moved in, he didn't move in for a one-night stand. He didn't move in for the weekend. He didn't move in for a vacation. He permanently moved in right here. Bible says when Peter was filled, he opened up his mouth and he said something boldly. I wrote this down. This is cool. Ready? In Matthew 12, Mark 1, Mark 2, Mark 6, Mark 9, Mark 10, Mark 16, Luke 4, Luke 5, and Luke 9, the people said this about Jesus. Who is this man? Because the things he says come to pass. Jesus just got filled with the Holy Ghost, right? The Holy Ghost came upon him. Remember, he operated as a man in this earth, filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why he needed the Holy Spirit to come upon him. He showed us what we needed. And it says this, in all those chapters I mentioned, they say this, who is this that the winds and the sea obey him? He says, look, how dare he speak boldly like that? Who is this man who speaks to a dead man named Lazarus, and he comes out popping out of the tomb? Who is this man who speaks to a legion of devils, and they come running out and screaming out of a man? Who is this man who speaks to a paralytic and says, your sins are forgiven? Then he says, stretch out your hand, and his hand is healed. Who is this man? And he says, this is what we know about him. What he says comes to pass. He speaks boldly as one with authority. Let me tell you what the Holy Spirit does for you when he fills you. You begin to speak boldly. You begin to speak with authority. You begin to speak like you've never spoken before. You literally change into a new man, a new person. Why? Because we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. We are not that old person anymore. God did something brand spanking new in us. And when the devil comes tempting, you say, no, devil, talk to the hand because this body ain't listening. I got the mind of Christ. I ain't falling for your temptation anymore. I ain't falling for your games anymore. I ain't falling for your tricks anymore. I am wise to who you are. Why? Because the Holy Ghost has revealed these things to me. Now, let me just go for the opposite for a second. Luke chapter 1. I want you to see this. Every time the Holy Ghost touches you, he touches your mouth at the same time. Everybody hear that? So if you're not speaking right, you may not be filled right. Luke chapter 1, watch this. Watch this. You ready? Verse 11. This is Zacharias. You remember him? He's the father of John the Baptist. Ready? Luke chapter 1, verse 11. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias. Watch this. For your prayer is heard. He was praying, right? What was he praying about? A child. He wanted a baby. Correct? He says, and your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you shall call his name John. So in other words, Zacharias was praying for a son, and the angel said, okay, I'm here because God is answering your prayer. Everybody got it? I mean, listen, if an angel appeared to me, I would say, okay, I believe you. Watch this. He says, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and so on and so on. Now, drop down to verse 18. Ready? And Zacharias said to this angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. Listen, dummy, you've been praying for years for a baby. And when was the last time an angel appeared to you, Zacharias? Never. Duh. Now he shows up. He shows up and he tells you, we heard your prayer, Zacharias. Your wife's going to have a baby. He's like, I don't believe you. Watch this. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring these glad tidings. In other words, when the Holy Ghost shows up, you better be happy about it. Listen, when the Holy Ghost shows up, he's not going to make you whine and complain and grumble and whine and be negative. When the Holy Ghost fills your life, he's going to cause you to get happy. James chapter 1, verse 2 says, count it all joy. Now listen, how many of you do not have a problem in the world? Anybody? Nobody. Everybody's got problems. Listen, I will tell you this. You can never have a problem-free life. Ever. You will always have a problem. I'm not being negative. You will always have a problem. We live in a negative world. We live in a world where the devil, is the god of this world. He is the prince of the power of the air, right? We live in a fallen world. So what did God do? He says, here's how you fix everything. Let me give you some suggestions. Let me give you some power trips, some power nuggets. He said, just count it all joy. Just count it all joy. Why? Because the trying of your faith will bring forth patience, and patience will bring about its perfect work. Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is my So in other words, when you're going through it, what do? You start to open your mouth and start to declare, God is on my side. I'm going to make it through this. I'm not going through this. I'm growing through this. Things are changing just because I'm worshiping my God. He's on the throne. I've been made alive with him. I've been raised with him. And no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I don't care what the devil tries to do. I am born again. When you count it all joy, it gives you strength. So listen, so you wonder, people are supposed to look at you and say, I don't know how you made it through this one. I don't know, you've got a lot to carry. I don't know how you do it. I don't know why you're always happy. I don't know why you got a smile on your face. I don't know why you seem to always make it. I'll tell you why, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. I count it all joy. After I put a list together and all my problems, I put a mark and I say, joy. The Bible says the kingdom of God, he says the Holy Spirit and the kingdom of God in Romans 14:17 is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, with that being said, look what he just did. Let's go back here. I'm almost finished. Verse 20. So Zechariah is getting a little negative. He says, but behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. And in Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible says this, that we grieve the Holy Ghost when we speak negative, when we doubt, when we complain, when we speak ugly things. And the Greek word for grieve is sad. In other words, this, if he is the oil of gladness, if the Holy Spirit always comes with joy and you make him sad, he cannot operate in your life. So what did the angel do to Zechariah? He says, you're about to grieve the Holy Spirit. If you do, John will not be born. If John is not born, Jesus can't come right now. So what do you say? Shut your mouth. Be mute. Zip it. State zit. Zip, zip. Callate la boca. Scase. Any other languages? Who? Buddha? Buddha. German? Hatsumao? Hatsumao! That's Japanese. Hatsumao! It doesn't, ferme la bouche. It doesn't matter what language it is. If you cannot speak something that has joy in it, that has positive, that glorifies God, you make the Holy Ghost sad. And he cannot operate in your life when he's sad. You're saying, well, that's the Holy Ghost. You're telling me he can't operate? That's what I said. You grieve him. Because the Holy Ghost is a happy guy. He's a happy dude. Why? Because he was an eyewitness to Jesus' resurrection. He had front row. He was actually involved in it. He didn't get secondhand information. He was actually there when it happened. And when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, he takes you there and says, let me show you what the Holy Ghost did. Let me show you my power. Let me show you what I did when death and hell gripped the Savior. I burst open the grave. I put life back in him, and I raised him up above all principalities and powers and dominion and might. And guess what? I put those things under your feet. Woo! Hallelujah! Man, I gotta run. Hallelujah! Woo! I don't know about you, but next time you open your mouth, it better be faith-filled words. It better be joy-filled words. It better be something that glorifies him. Otherwise, you will short-circuit, you will hinder, you will grieve the power of God operating in your life. And all he wants to do is move in and take over. Listen, he's a genius. He's the smartest thing going. And if you listen to him, he'll make you look smart. Woo! Come on, stand to your feet for a minute. Why don't we stand to our feet? We got a song that we can just fill our mouths. Amen. Let's just get filled up. Anybody want a drink this morning? Yeah. Let's just drink a little bit. Let's just have a real relationship with Jesus. Let's not think about it. Let's just drink about it. Amen. What do we got? Something good, something filled, something easy.
When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. I thank God for saving me. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. I thank God for saving me. Oh, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. I thank God for saving me. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. I thank God for saving me.
Amen. Now listen. Say this. Say, Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
He's alive.
He's alive.
As he is.
So am I.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say,
Lord,
fill me
with your spirit.
Strengthen me in my inner man. Make me a new person in Christ. Hallelujah. I am who God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. I have what God says I have. In Jesus' name. Now shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. Woo! Woo! Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is good. All the time. Turn to buddy, shake their hands. Tell them Jesus is alive.
Yes.
Yes.
Hallelujah.